Bonjour les auditeurs! This is your host and Game Master Jake Lucas coming to you all the way from Paris. If this is your first time listening, I recommend you go back and start listening at episode 1. If you're returning, welcome back. I'm assuming you all saw my announcement. We lost a whole session of audio just as myself and Alfonso, who plays Flint Cross, were about to go on vacation. We didn't have time to re-record the audio for that session without creating a 3-week gap in episodes, which I didn't want to do. Fortunately, we brainstormed and decided to do a flashback episode, where we get to see the moment Levo and Bosch meet. We also have fellow improviser Carolyn Cox joining us. She was going to guest star on the podcast in a few episodes, but this flashback allows us an opportunity to introduce her character earlier on. We're very excited to have her join. Now, you may be thinking, flashback episodes, ugh, filler, great. Trust me, all of this turns out to be ridiculously goofy, a whole lot of fun, and a lot of it's going to be seeding events that are going to be happening in the very near future. So, without any further ado, let's get right to the show.
Empire attempts to snuff out the light in the galaxy, until all that's left is darkness. Yet the Force still works, moving in subtle ways, bringing about seemingly innocuous events that will eventually shape the galaxy. After meeting with an information broker to gather a lead on the Imperial Weapons Program Project Firestorm, the crew of the Iron Trike travels to the planet Belsavis to do a job for the conniving Chagrian. To kill time on their long hyperspace voyage, the crew gathers in the common room, deciding to use this moment to get to know each other better.
Alright, so to start off the session, we're going to roll the Destiny die.
Yay.
So, everyone, roll one.
Alright.
So roll one.
One light side from...
Everybody.
Oh, yeah, that's
one.
The name of the podcast! We brought it back around.
What?
Full circle.
So
let's just end it there.
One light side from Tom, two light sides from Evan.
Nice.
Damn. John has one dark side point. And then,
usually
special guest joining us tonight, Carolyn, she's going to roll one light side point. God, the force with you guys this evening.
Yes.
All right.
Motion to replace Alfonso?
No?
Seconded? Anyone
seconded?
No,
I can't.
So we will open up on a shot of the Iron Trike, the YT-2400, hurtling through hyperspace. And then we cut inside the common area where I imagine Bosch, Levo, and Tumask are. Flint can be heard audibly snoring from his bunk off to the side. Maybe Serta's there as well. Maybe, you know, drinking a nice cup of tea while reading over a data pad. And then the Wookiee's there, of course, playing that pod racing game.
Gartatha loves that pod racing
He's
game.
He's addicted to that. So yeah, take it away. Take away the scene.
It's going to be a while before we arrive.
I never really understood that. We're traveling at warp speed, right?
Yes.
So how fast actually is that compared to, like, the speed of light?
It's faster?
Well, okay, yeah, so it's faster. So, like, I guess I just don't really have a good handle on the distances between planets.
No.
And it feels like we should be where we're going a lot faster.
Gartatha raises his head and looks at you and sort of rolls his eyes and goes back to the pod racing.
Oh, don't you look, give me that look again.
He like looks up at you again and like narrows his eyes a little bit and goes back to the pod racing game.
Haven't been out in space this long for a while, or at least as often.
This one also feels strange by all this travel. This one's used to being holed up in a space.
I've traveled a bit back in my time.
Traveled where?
All over. Different systems, different towns in those systems.
Did you always have that hat?
What, this thing? Ding. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, Tumask, I think that's part of him.
It could be welded on. This one could even shine it for you or change the shape if you want, Levo.
Last time you tried to fix me, you took off my arm. I'm good for now.
Offer still stands.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm at least not in as much disrepair since, you know, we met.
Well, we've been, you know, we've been trying to I was going to say keep a low profile, but that's exactly the opposite of what we've
been
doing.
That is exactly the opposite of what we've done.
I never really asked you much about what you did before we met.
A lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess a lot. How old are you?
I don't actually know. There's a lot of blank spots. I don't know. A lot of missing time.
Maybe Tumas can pull up your original boot record.
This one will do a good scan over you.
Whoa, we got very far very quickly.
Yeah, we'll do a nice deep scan. Really thorough.
I'm not entirely comfortable with the situation right now.
This one could even reprogram you.
Whoa. You know what that means for droids?
What, you've told us you are programmed to protect Bosch.
Not entirely overwritten.
Maybe I could dive in and this one could find out more information.
Yeah, we're not going to reformat you. We're just going to, you know, like, really get to know you.
Yeah, maybe I also don't want that. Look, I won't lie. There's a lot I don't remember, so I've seen what you do. If you want to give it a shot, why not?
It's okay. I don't want to invade your privacy if you don't want to.
Tumas, like, takes out his data
don't,
pad.
Don't do that backpedaling thing. You always do that and make me feel bad.
Tell this one, where do you begin to remember?
I used to be in law enforcement. I was just a regular droid then.
When you say law enforcement, were you, like, a police officer or were you mall security?
No, I worked with the local law enforcement, the police. I was a law enforcement droid. And that's what I did for a while.
Did you have a partner?
Yeah.
What happened?
Something.
Ooh, that's one of the dark spots, huh?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. You know, I remember watching these old Holonet programs, and they would do episodes on the Holonet programs to celebrate Ghost Day, and I forget what was the episode called. It was the Ewok Treehouse of Terror or something. I don't know. I'm really trying here, reaching really hard.
I haven't seen those episodes.
Gartatha growls something.
Oh, don't you? You know, you always. You give me that look again, and I just...
Serdanuko looks at you and sort of, like, gives you the dirty look, like, you just said Life Day.
Oh, you guys call it Life Day. Great.
So, I don't know, you want to do this? Leave up points to his head.
This one is ready.
So, like, Tumas, like, has, like a tool belt.
Okay.
You know, not like... You know, Batman, not like a superhero kind of thing, but...
Like a plumber.
Oh, don't
like,
sell yourself short.
An electrician, there you go. Yeah. So he pulls out kind of like a heavier duty, like pretty much like USB cord. Like these days, right? Like plug. They have something
in Star
like
Wars,
that.
They do have that, but it's more like a giant 3.5 millimeter jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's literally like... Slightly less gruesome than the Matrix.
Yeah, because you see it with K2 in Roll One or Rogue
and,
One.
R2 also has just like a little dong.
Oh yeah,
little,
just like a little.
Yeah. So he pulls out like a cord. There's like a little version of the plug because of course they always come out with new like versions on the other side. He plugs into his data pad and then he comes up behind Levo.
Yeah, it's cool.
Relax.
And then he plugs in.
Yeah, there's like a port in the back of my head.
So I guess I'll just try to, you know. So Tumas, why don't we punch in some basic search terms and just sort of see what pops up?
So this is how we're doing it now.
Okay,
you weren't initiating anything.
I was trying to ask you, man. I told you just to ask about, like, hey, when did you two meet?
Hey, I don't know. This is an awesome.
Yeah, this is going great.
Yeah.
So we.
I love the direction.
So Leto's eyes are sort of like staring off in the distance as the jack's going into his head. And we do a wipe, and then we cut to what's sort of like where would Adriest sort of hang out like. Like, Han Solo was in the Mos Eisley Cantina. Where would Adriest frequent?
I have a Twi'lek lover, so what planet is that in? Ryloth.
Yeah.
So I'll be hanging out maybe in a cantina on Ryloth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Ryloth, they have like a lot of cities built into mountainous structures. So we cut to like an underground city, people walking around, cloaked, robed, lots of Twi'leks everywhere. And we see Levo walking forward. And does anyone want to add a rebel character that they want to play as?
I'm already me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Cool. Both of you have one?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, if you want.
I don't.
Yeah. So we see Levo walking with three other individuals. And they're walking sort of clandestinely. They're sort of looking around over their shoulder. And they make their way towards a cantina. It's a sunken cantina, so it's like a few steps into the ground, and there's a light coming out, and there's music playing on the inside. These four individuals walk into the cantina, and they look around. The first one is...
me, Levo 3.
Yeah. How is Levo dressed? Is he any different than he is in the present day?
In the present day, honestly, not much has changed.
Looks...
He's a creature of habit. Wears the same coat, just has a blaster and himself.
Maybe a little shinier?
yeah, I think at this point he's a little shinier.
All right. Next to him is an Abednego named Erdan Bogan. He's wearing sort of like a leather jacket over a shirt, but you see the right sleeve is tied into a knot because he's missing his entire right arm. And Abednego are long-snouted creatures that were introduced in The Force Awakens. He has a little bit of some scruff on his chin, almost like a short goatee growing. The other two individuals with him are...
So Tal Modok is tall for a Twi'lek. And his right tentacle has been lopped off. And that's why him and Netta get along so well. They bond over their shared phantom limb syndrome. And Tal is a... Tal lost his family during the Clone Wars.
We don't need to get to a full...
Okay, well, but I am.
What does the audience say?
But I am, okay? And, you know, and...
Play it out. Show them Tal.
And that's why he joined the rebellion. Okay, I'm done.
Cool. So we have a Twi'lek missing Leku next to him. And then...
So next to him is Reese Moores. He is an older gentleman, probably in his, I'd say, early 50s.
Maybe a silver fox, if you will.
Yeah, silver fox. I like that.
nice.
I was picturing, would silver foxes be like clean cut?
Could be, yeah.
Could be, but I
was picturing kind of a beard.
I mean, I picture more of a salt and pepper beard.
Salt and pepper beard, yeah. Kind of like somewhat trim, so he's not like completely out of control. You know, like a nice trim.
So if he were caught getting, you know, his photo taken on a GQ cover, he'd be ready.
He'll be ready.
He's super handsome. I'm picturing like a George Clooney type.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Sure. Right. George Clooney-esque Reese Moores, except... he is also missing a part of his body.
What is he missing?
He is missing one ear. So he can't really hear people well on his right side.
All
right. So he always tries to walk on like the left. Like he's like actively trying to walk with everybody on his left side so he can hear what's going on. Like, so his side, like, man, from the left... handsome George Clooney. From the right, it's like all scarred,
so he's two-faced,
like torn off. Like he's kind of two-facey, but in a hot George Clooney silver fox kind of way.
Okay. Cool
amazing.
So these four grim looking completely serious individuals scan the room. And as they scan the room, the camera pans the room. We see different aliens. Almost all of them are Twi'leks. But then we settle on one character in particular. Describe what that character looks like and, like, sort of what they're doing at this cantina.
I'm kind of wearing, like, utilitarian boho chic. Like, khaki, but also scarves and, like, kind of a floppy hat that's like just kind of over my face, so it lends me a little bit of anonymity, but like it still looks cool. Drinking some Corellian whiskey.
Okay.
And then playing a game of Sabacc.
So who are you playing with?
Who am I playing with? A stranger.
Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe just like another Twi'lek?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're off the table, maybe like off on the side, or you're like in the middle of the room?
Definitely in the corner, in the shadows. But there's like neon lights in the bar, so you can just kind of make us out.
Okay. I'm picturing like maybe jewel tones, blues, oranges, purples.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm picturing, like, if any of you have seen Atomic Blonde,
that
color palette right now.
That aesthetic, very much.
Cool. So that's this whole bar's aesthetic. It's very sort of, like, despite it being underground, it's sort of, like, everything sleek and colorful, and you get, like, it's very sort of, like, not quite seedy, but definitely, like, edgy vibe. Yeah, like super cyberpunk.
Like Mass Effect 2, almost.
Yeah.
Kind of vibe.
Less red, because Mass Effect 2 is super red, but, like, blues, red, purples, oranges. So the Abednego Erdem points over at the table. He like gestures with his thumb on his one good arm, and he says, "That's her. That's the pilot."
Right.
So he starts walking over towards the pilot in question.
You know, Erdem, I still don't understand why you can't just fly it. Still,
I lost my arm. I'm no good flying a ship anymore.
That's all in your head, buddy.
No. You need both arms. One controls the throttle, the other one controls the yaw.
Yeah, Tally's right. You need both arms.
Well, look, I don't need both tentacles to be a Twi'lek.
No, part of your brain's in your head. In your Leku.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's noticed, or anyone's told you, but you haven't been the same.
I have been having some short-term memory issues.
Yeah. Your personality's wildly different. Oh, jeez. No, guys, I'm good.
I feel like I need to apologize for what's about to.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Oh, Jesus Christ!
It's fine. It's too late.
Oh, boy, off to a great start.
Man, I really hope I can hang out with some more normal people soon.
Wow.
So these four individuals. Make their way towards the table where Adriest is sitting. Do you acknowledge them right away? How do you react to these four?
I shoot them a steely glance underneath my floppy brimmed hat, but I don't say anything.
Okay.
Definitely don't make an overture towards conversation. I'm not interested.
I lean over to Reese. I like the look of this one's hat.
It's pretty floppy.
Erdan looks at you and says, I think we're looking to hire you.
Looking to hire me?
If you're the person we heard about, we're looking for a good pilot.
Well, I'm a good pilot, but I don't come cheap, so I doubt you Motley crew could afford me.
They all share a look.
Well, who's she calling Motley?
Oh, Tell, just show her the money.
Oh, it's us.
Give her the money.
Yeah, that's right. Please. Yeah, here. Sorry, we have your fee in cash. If you won't ask too many questions about what we're doing.
The Twi'lek playing her like sort of looks over like, what the hell is going on?
In that moment, Reese, who I feel like is kind of
face man,
the
half face man,
the half face man, he kind of like pulls out like a blaster, like he sees the Twi'lek like looking around.
Oh, you just show.
And yeah, and he's just like, and like, just for the audience, he just kind of like puts one hand up, like telling the Twi'lek to stop, and hopefully the Twi'lek walks away.
Yeah, the Twi'lek looks at you and looks at the rest of them. He's like, "I guess I'll catch you for another game sometime soon." And he gets up and he hurries off nervously, and he leaves the cantina entirely.
Yeah, Reese like keeps his eyes on him the whole time out, and like the Twi'lek even like looks back once and sees that Reese is still staring him down.
Erdan takes a seat across from you.
Listen, we have the credits. We'll pay. But we have, it's not a very usual job. And we heard you're probably the best in the system.
Flattery will get you nowhere. I need a little more intel to go on.
We're carrying what you might call sensitive cargo for who you might call a sensitive...
Tell!
What? Oh, what do you guys want to drink?
Oh,
can I get you guys a drink?
Goodness. Oh, we're trying
this
to get...
This one inspires a lot of confidence.
Don't worry about Tell. He's okay. I mean, he was. We don't know anymore.
Yeah, and I thought I had speech, talking problems.
We're breaking someone out of prison, and we need someone to fly the ship in and out and help get us out. We lost a lot of good men recently, unfortunately. I lost my arm. I'm normally a group's pilot.
Who's we?
We're with a group of individuals who can't stand the Empire.
It's a very diplomatic way of putting it.
Well, if to put it blankly, we're looking to rebel against the Empire.
We're what you might call rebels.
Tell, not so loud!
Sorry.
What, you just, this is a public place!
You just... Okay.
But what did the boss say?
Don't whisper.
Yeah, don't whisper. It's... You couldn't... Yeah, Reese wouldn't be able to hear us over the music.
This place is very loud. I want to be part of the conversation. Where did we leave off? Did you tell her we're rebels?
Not so loud, Reese! Like a comfortable, like lower it by 5 decibels. We can hear you. You can't hear us. So you can whisper.
What?
Listen, we need a good pilot.
Clearly.
Yeah, we do.
If you've got the fee, then consider me hired.
He reaches over to the a briefcase almost that Tal's holding, with his like one good hand. He sort of has to reach over an awkward way to grab it.
Hey, that's mine.
Tal, it's the money.
Oh yeah.
All right.
He places it on the table, flicks it up, each clasp with one hand, opens it and turns it around, and you see just a stack of gold glimmering credits.
I'm on board. That'll do.
He closes it, clips it shut, and slides it across the table.
Shall we?
We shall. So, well, I mean, we should probably talk about the job.
Well, can we go somewhere not here?
All right. I mean, we're sort of... Yeah, let's go.
Like your hangar, maybe.
So you start walking and talking as you're...
Sorkening.
Yeah, you're sorkening as you leave the ship, because I have an idea for how I want to transition.
Okay.
And the guy, Erdan's like...
So the gist of it is, we need you to get someone important out of prison. And then the shot,
it does a wipe top, bottom to top as you guys are sort of like walking out of the cantina going up the stairs. And it cuts to inside like a dimly lit ship. And we see there's 3 individuals sort of slumped over. Their hands are cuffed. And the camera first looks at Bosch Trebia from the Rescue Someone Important line. Bosch is sitting there. Feel free to describe how he's doing. Maybe he's just waking up.
Bosch has been, I don't know about beaten, but certainly put under rendition of some sort. He's not looking too well. His normally flowing locks of hair are hanging lank in front of his face, and he hasn't eaten in a few days. So, his belly's starting to look like a little distended.
Ooh.
Almost.
His abs.
Yeah, you can't see his abs.
Oh, no.
You can't see his abs. Alternate story, the Empire has been force-feeding him. Anyway, you can't see his abs anymore at this point in time. Yeah, obviously shirtless. Yeah.
Goes without saying.
So the ship jerks, the lights flicker a little bit. All of a sudden, a voice from off-screen, you hear,
"You're awake?"
Yeah. Yeah, I woke up a few minutes ago. I thought of this awesome comic I was reading right before I got caught.
Stay with me.
No, you don't understand. It was, I was just like,
you.
The voice still off camera says to the other Arcanian sitting next to Bosch. And the audience sees Barca from all the way from episode 1.
So Barca is next to Bosch, right?
Yep, they're sitting next to each other, both handcuffed.
Me?
Yes, you. Your friend's falling asleep.
Yeah?
He's been asleep for too long. He took a head injury, it looks like.
People need to sleep.
My mom always told me that you have to set an alarm for when you're going to get up. Because otherwise you wake up in the middle of a dream and you're tired all day.
He's right. I've been tired so many times.
I'm sorry, but you're not in a dream.
And it cuts to the passenger, and we see it's Fortis Whitaker's Saw Gerrera.
No, who could that voice have been?
Yeah.
I was gonna say.
Yeah.
I'm afraid this isn't a dream. You're in a nightmare.
Is he also a prisoner?
Yeah, he's also a prisoner. His hands are cuffed across from you.
And we cut to a shot of the ship you're in. It's a Lambda-class shuttle, classic Star Wars Imperial shuttle. And it's slowly flying through atmosphere, landing through a planet that has like a yellowish-brown sky. It looks like it's almost in a perpetual twilight. We see tall spires, mountains, like it's very stark atmosphere. Like the spires themselves, they're like tall buildings that seem to be almost of like a Gothic sort of structure. Like lots of stone, lots of archways. And then juxtaposed with that are like clear Star Wars-y sort of like landing pads and lights and lightning rods attached to them. So, and the ship's like heading down towards that. We cut back inside the ship itself. Or you two must be very important.
I don't think so. I don't know why. I've never been told I was important before in my life.
Well, the Empire is taking you someplace where I guess they're going to expect you'll never be seen again.
I think this is a case of mistaken identity. It happens all the time. Do you know how many Arcanians are kidnapped every day? It's a lot. I can't count, okay? I can't call my parents because they abandoned me, but Bashir, he employs me, and his family is going to be irate when they find out what's happened to us.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty mad.
We're not important. We're regular people.
Well, I mean, they seem to think we're something else. They seem to think I'm something else.
Maybe you are. Maybe only time will tell.
The ship lands. The landing ramp comes down, and the door to the cockpit opens, and two stormtroopers come out, and they start jostling you, lifting you up like,
"Hey, get up! Move it! Back of the ship, get out!"
So Saw Gerrera stands, and he sort of like gives them a dirty look, but he walks, he obliges. One stormtrooper looks at Barca and Bosch.
I said get up!
Bosch sort of kind of, you know, stumbles up to his knees. He's kind of recovered a bit of his situational awareness.
Barca's like quick to kind of like help him up, even though his hands are tied. So he kind of like just shoulders into him to kind of support the weight without actually being able to like grab onto him.
Yeah, good guy, Barca.
Huh?
Good guy, Barca.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I think there's been a mistake here. Like, we're not criminals. We're nobodies. Like, I don't know.
As you say that, the stormtrooper hits you with the butt of his rifle in your chin.
It, like, coughs up, like, a little blood.
Hey, I'll have you know that that man right there has the and full you get, rights boom. And all.
You hit in the stomach.
Off the ship now.
Okay, sure. Going. Barca complies as well.
So you do walk down the landing ramp. Now we have an exterior shot of about six stormtroopers leading these three prisoners down the landing ramp. And then we see like a cadre of imperial officers and several stormtroopers as well walking to greet them. And we have the... would someone like to be the imperial villain this session?
Sure.
Okay. So we have the commandant of this facility is walking up, sleek black imperial uniform, walking with several stormtroopers and maybe an attaché with them and a protocol droid as well, like a almost like a C-3PO unit, but just sleek black casing, because of course.
Mm-hmm.
The commandant, or whatever this individual's rank and name will be, walks up to Saw, Barca, and Bosch to greet them.
Ah. At last. What a nice hall we have here. Two of you. Great interest to me. At least one of you.
Well, but there are three of us. Which one?
I'm looking at you, young man, aren't I?
Sir? And he, Barker wipes some blood off of his lip. I think there's been a mistake. I know a statistic that thousands of Arcadians are kidnapped every day. And I just think that this has been...
And he goes up and puts a finger on Barca's lips.
I'm bleeding.
My boy. Have you been hurt? Has someone hit you? Here? Have you been abused in this place?
I have.
That's interesting. Guard, and call a stormtrooper.
Yes, sir?
Hit him again.
Oh, the stormtrooper, like, looks at him for a second, looks at the commander, and then hits Barca in the stomach with the butt of his rifle.
Hey, well, that was very rude and unsporting, I'll have you know, frankly, and I really don't appreciate any of that at all.
Oh, that's just the imperial courtesy I've come to expect!
Guerrera, finally. It's been a while, I've wanted to meet you. I've only heard the tales.
Well, I wish I could say the same, but I have no idea who you are.
I am Commandant Kern, and you will learn to know my name and associate it with pain and fear, friend, for all the terrorism and destruction you've caused.
I've been hurt by the best. I'll see what you can do.
I like him already. Take him away.
So the stormtroopers shove them, and we do a side wipe, and we cut to Adria's ship, where she's walking in with the rebels. Mm-hmm. So feel free to describe the ship.
The lighting is actually pretty similar to the bar. Like, ambient lighting. There's lots of like tapestries hanging. Yeah. I'm just going to go over these decorations before we get to the functionality. There's like lots of mini bars set up and Corellian whiskey housed in like these glass shelving along the walls. I'm picturing it's kind of like it's got a very Oprah's favorite things vibe inside, but it's also been really nicely modded. There's sensor proof like areas where I can stow things that I'm smuggling, obviously. The hull has been outfitted with some salvaged armor from Imperial ships. So, you know, it's my home, but it's also a force to be reckoned with. So I bring you in, sit you down around a table, pour you all some whiskey, snap my fingers and turn on some tunes.
Nice. What kind of music's playing? All right, so the cantina music. Nice.
And so is it like a clap on, but instead it's like a snap on?
Yeah,
snap on.
Nice. Erdan at least is like definitely looks out of place. He's wearing sort of like dingy clothes, like sort of military clothes. He's just sort of looking around, like, okay.
Tal is flipping through the books on the bookcase. And clearly has entirely forgotten that he's on a spaceship.
Oh no. What are Levo and Reese doing?
Levo is looking confusedly at the whiskey that was poured for him. No, it's great because it's a running theme and it's been awesome. And it keeps happening accidentally.
Reese is also into the whiskey, but he kind of is inspecting it the entire time. Like, it's so long until he finally, like, takes a sip. Like, he looks at the color, shakes it around, takes a little sniff, takes a little tiny sip, and then he, like nods his head and approves it. Like, good job.
Definitely nod back. Yeah. Top you off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. He approves.
Welcome to the Fiona, boys.
Pleasure to be here.
This is the nicest ship I've ever been on.
Tal, don't you remember your own old ship? You love that ship.
What's up?
What? Never mind. Huh? Just forget it, guys. Forget it, guys.
Yeah. These are great books.
So the prison break.
Yeah, we, our leader, he was recently captured in an Imperial raid. We lost a number of people. We at least know he's still alive. He's too high of a priority target for the Empire just to do away with. What intel we have is that he's being temporarily held on the planet Borosk, which is an Imperial stronghold. We need to be able to get in there, get him, and get out.
What's the name of this all-important leader?
He shares a look with everyone, not sure if he should say.
He's I wouldn't call him a leader so much.
I mean, he's our leader.
He's that's his title.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I got.
Oh, I usually call him Saw.
It's Saw Gerrera. You might have heard of him.
At this point in Star Wars history, Saw Gerrera, I think, is a pretty notorious terrorist and criminal.
Yeah.
Saw Gerrera. His reputation precedes him.
Hopefully that's not a deal breaker.
As long as I've got my money.
You've got it. And consider that half of what you're going to be paid.
I snap my fingers again and confetti falls
down. Are you smuggling confetti?
Reese looks all around, like he covers his drink, but he's like still like amazed with everything.
This is going to get in all my joints.
Tal is very pleased. Tal is walking around right now like Bill Clinton after all the balloons.
Oh, Tal. Farka and Tal breaking everyone's hearts these next few episodes.
Oh, jeez. So we're still sort of figuring out the plan.
That's reassuring.
Listen, this just happened a day or two ago.
Yeah, we can't just let him rot there.
Very sentimental of you.
We've got plenty of guns, but we're expecting probably a little resistance.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
By little, a whole lot.
Nothing we haven't handled before.
This is Imperial Stronghold, and we don't have Saw or the rest of the gang.
You boys are a sorry-looking lot. What makes you so drawn to helping him? You could all go home, couldn't you? You could all go somewhere else. None of you are in top fighting condition.
Not for nothing, but they made me do it.
Fair. I see where you're coming from.
I don't have a home. This gang right here, this is my family.
Sentimental, but all right.
I don't have the home either. The Empire took that from me.
We all have a stake on this fight, and that's why we need to get our leader out.
He's my friend.
So you're leader, Tal.
I know.
Did you? Your entire world is under Imperial subject. Oh, boy. We need to see a doctor soon.
I'm feeling fine.
It may be a little
okay,
late for that.
Look, I'm feeling great. I did calisthenics this morning, and I only had to take a nap after for an hour.
You're missing your mouth with that whiskey, boy.
Oh, no. It just spilled over his shirt.
Yeah.
While
delicious.
Talking.
Delicious.
Oh, boy. So, we're going to need a plan to how to get in there.
I'm open to suggestions.
I thought this was going to be the brainstorming session.
Sure.
I mean,
what do we know about the layout of the prison?
Yeah, and this planet.
Well, from the records we have, the prison is run... Well, the whole planet is an Imperial stronghold. There's Star Destroyers in the sky. That's where they refuel and protect the whole sector. The prison in question, we have some idea about its whereabouts and its loadout. There's a old converted Imperial, or old converted Separatist stronghold that they've turned into a prison. That's the most likely spot where Saw is going to be before they move him from there to a more secure facility.
Is there a spot we can fly in?
There are landing ramps on the facility. They would be a little conspicuous landing. We will need to sneak past the Imperial patrols. There will be many. It's supposed to be a very heavily guarded planet.
Well, oh, what if we just do a quick, rappel out of the back of the ship and, onto the roof of one of the buildings? We can all do that, right?
I mean, we could do that, yeah. That's a way for entry. We'd be coming in hot. Question is, are we going to do this hot or are we going to do this one quiet?
Those two words are not opposites.
In this context, they're completely opposite. We go in hot, guns blazing, or we go in quiet, sneaking in there. Hot's the opposite of quiet.
Cool.
No, I kind of see Tal's point, actually. I'm just saying.
In my language, it makes perfect sense. In the basic tongue that you all speak, I could understand it's not as straightforward.
That's true. Your language does have a tremendous number of idiomatic intricacies.
Why it's pretty difficult to learn, why it's sort of the onus is on us to learn your language. Ugh.
So back to the prison?
Back to the prison.
I think the likeliest scenario is we go in quietly. The likeliest to succeed. We need to place a point of entry that's not going to be noticed. That isn't usually used.
We could also go with the decoy method. I could set off some explosions. A little distraction.
It's also a good
plan. You guys slip it on in.
You are our explosives expert.
What?
Yeah. You, Reese. You're the explosives expert, so I thought that would be great for you.
I'm definitely not
the explosives expert.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely set off some charges. Bring out some troops. I'll take them down.
Sure.
Perfect.
How are we going to get through Imperial airspace, though?
Well, that's hopefully where she comes in.
Fancy flying.
That sounds like...
Was that a period?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's a period. It's an ellipsis.
So from what it sounds like is we're going to have to gather some more information.
Yeah.
Maybe do some scouting out. Maybe talk to some locals. That sort of thing.
We don't have time. Our friend is in there.
Just give me 20 minutes. I will set up a string of bombs that will blow...
How do you get there?
Well, 20 minutes to set up the string and tie them together. I
this is clearly Saw's C-team who is trying to rescue
them. Oh, yeah. Them. A-team and B-team were obliterated. They are dead as hell. We are the last hope for Saw.
So I love how Levo is on C-team, too.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
don't build up Levo to be more than he is. He's C-team material. He knows it.
So for a plan...
let me see. I kind of... There's got to be a sewer system.
Okay.
Ooh, a sewer entry. Mm.
I mean, there are light side points for you guys to use.
I want
to
flip a light side point and see if we can use it to gather information about the sewer system underneath. And if we can enter the prison that way.
Okay. So how are you guys going to... I guess the question is, how are you guys first going to gather information? You're going to make it to the planet?
Planet's already under control.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So we would have to disguise ourselves if we were going to go around?
I mean, you know, we could have... Fulcrum could begrudgingly give us some intel. Kind of like in Glengarry, Glen Ross, and they're giving them the bad leads. Because they have to give them something, and like...
So contact Fulcrum's an idea. Yeah. Sneak on planet and ask around is another idea.
Yeah. What if we use a light side point to say someone knows Van Ferenda?
Interesting. Okay. So you guys...
Broker.
Yeah, you go to meet him?
Sure.
Okay.
Or even call him. Like.
So we're going to open up now on inside the prison. Barca and Bosch are... You guys are at mealtime, so you guys are sitting down. There's other prisoners moving around to sit down. So take it away, you two, just sort of enjoying yourselves. You have a moment.
It's mealtime?
Mealtime. So you two haven't really had much of a chance to talk. Maybe it's the next morning.
Barca, how are you holding up?
This food is disgusting.
Yeah, I don't think I can eat this. It's gray.
This food is in violation of so many protocols. Like, we have to talk to somebody, Bosch.
I don't know how all of these people don't have food poisoning right now.
I think they do. Have you gone to the bathroom yet?
No.
It is disgusting.
I have not gone to the bathroom. I've been in a cell. They let you go to a bathroom?
Yeah.
What?
You were passed out. They hit you really hard. Are you okay?
No.
You need to see a doctor.
I would love to. Do you think that maybe we could find me a doctor instead of dealing with our problems with the cafeteria?
I mean, we just have... I know I'm supposed to be your liege, your...
No, other way around. I'm your...
Oh. Oh, God, I'm so stupid. I'm so sorry, Bosch. Okay, so we...
What's the big cat people race that...
Togorian?
Togorians? Yeah. I think at this point a Togorian goes, like, next to Barca and is like, are you gonna finish that?
I have an idea. Would you two like to be, like, thugs pushing these two around? Okay. Cool.
The look of glee. You're gone. You can do whatever you'd like to be.
Can I be a hut? Is that outrageous?
Sure, there's a hut in this prison facility.
I mean, I'm thinking of, like, Zero from...
The Clone Wars.
Yeah,
Clone Wars.
Or from Clone Wars. Yeah, not Rebels.
I'm not going to eat it, but I do not advise you to eat it. Do you know how
Start shoveling whatever it is in its mouth.
What does it taste like?
Food. Eat it or don't.
You can have mine.
Yeah. Taste
it. Mine!
No, not again.
Bah!
Throws the empty tray at you, but hits Bosch.
Oh, God. Oh, it's all over me. It smells like Oh, it smells like seaweed and wallpaper and old carpets. Oh.
Do not eat it. They don't like the food.
They don't like the food.
They don't like the food.
What's going on?
They don't like the food.
All of a sudden, people you hear is like pounding on the table.
Yes.
The Gagarin takes a lump of it and throws it at both of you, like in your faces, to get other people to do it.
food fight,
but a weird, horrible hazing food fight for new prisoners, yeah. Where they're forcing them to be covered in this gross gruel.
The guards are used to it by now, they're just sort of chuckling and trying not to get splattered.
Yeah. There's like some stormtroopers up on a corner, like looking down on the cafeteria,
like a catwalk.
These guys, look at them.
Throwing their mush around again.
Well, I guess fun is where you make it. I haven't been home in 12 years. I don't even know where home is.
So how are Barca and Bosch dealing with this food fight? Now all of a sudden food's getting thrown at them. The entire like cafeteria staring at them.
So screaming. Yeah. So Bosch just sort of like tries to get up and kind of stand on the table and talk to people. But the second he opens his mouth, he just gets pelted with like eight globs of the stuff from different directions and kind of falls back down.
Barca, like, as he's falling down, is jumping on the table trying to protect Bosch. Like, he's taking one for the team kind of a thing, so he's just getting pelted with this grub. And every time, like, a piece of food hits him, like, he's just thinking about all the germs on the food and all the disgusting, like...
germs on the other inmates.
Inmates, and just every... Like, he... It's like bullets hitting, or blaster hits.
The Godfather of food. Yeah.
I'm imagining like Willem Dafoe in Platoon.
Gray gruel everywhere.
Yeah. And then he like kind of falls like on top of Bosch.
How do the Tagorian and the Hutt feel about this guy trying to like protect his buddy?
Oh, the Tagorian loves it. grabs Bark at one point when he throws himself over Bosch and like takes his face and just smushes it into the table with all the gruel.
The Hutt has like smeared the gruel on his chest.
Man, you Hutts are weird.
Bark is like trying to
break your style test.
You're a growing boy.
Why?
All of a sudden, you hear a blaster shot go off, and the room goes dead silent. And the commandant walks in, flanked by two stormtroopers.
And Bosch sort of doesn't realize that things have stopped, and kind of keeps going. And the last glob that he throws, I'd like to roll.
Do it
to see if it hits the commandant.
Difficulty two.
Okay. Which skill?
That'd be ranged light. Ranged
light. Great. Give me 1 second. Boy.
Are you sure it's not heavy? Like, how heavy is the glob?
This is gruel. I don't think it's light. It's a light weapon.
It's light. It's a. You're not getting a lot portion wise.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Fucking hot.
It's a difficulty too.
Yeah.
Let me see if this is agility based.
It's
agility based. So
he hasn't eaten. He's weak. He does get a black die because
we haven't incorporated that in.
But yeah. since I am an Arcanian offshoot, I get a blue die. I can suffer a strain. A blue die in the agility check, and it's difficulty two. You said.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So these black dice are like penalties.
Gotcha.
For bad circumstances.
Okay, so Bosch picks up a big old glob of much used gruel.
Like the whole time, like Bark is like telling him, like, be careful, don't.
Okay, so
I succeed.
But there are some threats.
Who are there ever?
Oh, I mean, the threat is pretty obvious.
So
the food just hits the commandant right in the face.
Just slowly, with so much anger, like wipes his face from right to left. Perfect timing, I guess. So, Trebia!
He did it! And I point at the, and Bosh points at the Tagorian.
You both have not been here a day. But I can already tell I'm gonna enjoy your stay here. Guards, get them!
But, what do we-
So the two stormtroopers flanking him walk up. One grabs Bosh, the other one grabs Barka.
You're going to see someone very important.
Oh, not right now?
Soon.
Yeah, I just didn't but want them now. Harmed.
I don't want you harmed. I want you safe.
I would love to talk to somebody important. The facilities here are not up to code. What this mush, you saw it on your face. Like,
yes.
You're going to have a rash for days.
No.
It is disgusting.
Could someone hit him again, please?
There is
no. Stormtrooper punches you in the gut.
Thank you. I want you safe. Mostly I want you safe and quiet. But I do want you safe. So you're going to be in solitary for some time until you can meet the Inquisitor.
I was told that Marco was allowed to go to the bathroom, and I have not been to a bathroom yet.
Solitary comes with bathrooms as accommodation. Don't worry.
Well, you seem nice.
I am very nice.
Do they also come with beds?
You'll see. All the amenities are there.
Okay.
Take them to solitary.
And as they do that, the camera cuts to Saw Gerrera, who is sitting in the cafeteria. He didn't stand up with everyone else, and his eyes narrow at the sound of the Inquisitor.
But you see the dripping goop coming down over his brow.
Oh yeah, he Saw wipes him away for sure.
Jello! Delicious!
Oh, Forrest Whitaker, if you're listening and you want to come on, please. Please.
Alternately, if you want to send a cease and desist.
Please. Please do.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Roll One. If you enjoyed listening, please rate us on iTunes, and most importantly, tell your friends about us. Also, follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at Roll One Podcast. Adrius Bingo is played by Carolyn Cox. Levo 3 is played by Tom Wilson, who can be found on Instagram with the name IMTDubs. Tumask is played by John Barcello, who can be found on Instagram with the name John Barcello. Bosh Trivia is played by Evan Boshi, who can be found on Twitter at BoshTunes. Roll One is produced and game mastered by Jake Lucas, who can be found on Twitter at Jake A. Lucas, or on stage with his sketch team Candy Ass at the People's Improv Theater. The Edge of the Empire, Age of Rebellion, and Force and Destiny role-playing games belong to Lucas Books and Fantasy Flight Games. All music is by Nerd Salad, who can be found on Facebook or on Twitter at Nerd Salad. Stay tuned for the next thrilling episode of Roll One. Until then, may the Force be with you.